It is Monday, March 18th. Welcome into the whole show, powered by Chevron. I'm Brady Hull. And that's Angel. Angel Padilla on the other side of the bulletproof glass. I haven't done that one yet, to be fair. I don't think I've called you Padilla yet. Angel. Angel. Angle. Which I one of my personal favorites, and I haven't done the Padilla thing yet.
No, you haven't, but every substitute teacher has.
Well, I went to high school with a girl, her last name was Padilla, and people that didn't know her very well would always call her Padilla. So I understand the pain, because that bothered her for a very long time.
Yeah, a lot of Andrew Padillas.
Mm.
I don't know where Andrew comes from.
Yeah, it's close, kind of.
Because I mumbled as a child.
Mm. Like that?
Yeah.
I like Angle. I like that somebody called you Angle. That one's my favorite.
Yeah, a lot of those, too.
That's the best one. A lot to get into. So much happening. But you know what? We got to do this. We're going to have a great interview coming up with Linda Lappe. Linda Lappe is the director of the Sportsmen of Colorado of the Year, Sportswomen of Colorado. And they had this event last night. So we're going to be thrilled to talk to her. She's the director of Colorado Sportswoman of the Year. They celebrated their 50th anniversary last night. So that was a cool thing. Yeah, at the Hyatt in Denver at the Tech Center. So very cool. Susan and Cheryl, mixed feelings on that one. Oh, they're women. They should be loving this event. Everybody loves this event. But Linda's going to join us in a moment. Of course, she was a coach at Colorado, Metro State, so she played at Colorado. I think this is her second year with the Colorado Sports Women of the Year event. So we're going to be talking to her in about 5 minutes here. We're looking forward to that interview as they announced their, 50th, because the person that won this thing has won a lot of these awards over the years. Michaela Schifrin was named Colorado Sports Woman of the Year for a sixth time. And, of course, she's a skier. She's won the World Cup a lot. She's phenomenal. So we're excited to get Linda on the program, talk a little bit about what the organization's mission is, you know, what they're all about, some details there. And then bust into all things Selection Sunday, March Madness. The bracket is set. And I'll get to it in a minute, but there is a good, the bad, the ugly specifically for what went down yesterday. The good is that you got six Mountain West teams in and the Buffs. The bad is that the Buffs and the Rams are play-in teams, and then the ugly is everybody's really mad about it. Let's get to the real good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. For more, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me is just that. At the end of the day, six teams from the Mount West Conference got in. Two of them, though, are play-in teams. Boise State and the Colorado State Rams got a win to get into the official. This is the play-in. So when I asked the poll question presented by Chipper's Lanes, did the Rams get snubbed? You know, I'm already getting the comments like, what do you mean snubbed? They're in the tournament. They're in the play-in. It's the tournament, but it's not. It is, but it isn't. It's the NBA play-in. 1 through 6 is playoffs. The play-in is to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, so 6 bids on paper could go to 4 bids on Thursday.
Exactly. And remember when Wyoming went 2 years ago? We always kind of say, yeah, they kind of went in because they went to Dayton. And they were in, but not quite. Like, it's a half seat. So, did they get snubbed? And want to break into that. Because 12-1 in non-con play, but they couldn't win on the road in the Mount West. And they lost to Wyoming. They were up 11 with a minute left. I don't have to relive that for you. But anyway, it's good. It's good the Buffs got in. The Buffs, apparently, Angel, needed to do a heck of a lot more than we thought. They had to go all the way to the Pac-12 championship to just get the play-in game. We thought, man, finish your regular season out, win one game in the tournament, and you should be in. But that was not the case.
No, in the Pac-12 tournament, kind of a little shocking, yeah, surprising. Arizona, right, going down, CU going as far as they did. You get a weird CU-Oregon championship.
And CU beat Oregon twice in the regular season, but what do we say? It's a cliche, but it's real for a reason. It's hard to beat a team three times. Yes, that's exactly right. We need that on a t-shirt. just randomly walk around in a t-shirt that says, it's hard to beat a team three times. The bad, did you see Kyrie Irving just throw this random shot up in the air to win the game over the Nuggets?
I kind of just turned my attention away with like 5 minutes left because I was like, okay, they got up by 10. I was like, all right, this game's over. And then I'm scrolling Twitter and it's, oh, Jamal Murray, a shot. I'm like, what did Jamal do?
Yep.
Turn it on and I see that.
Joker struggled in that game. Jamal was good. Porter was good. Was Kyrie out of bounds, though? I mean, I don't think so. I saw it.
Do we need a 15-minute review to look at it?
Yeah, his heel was kind of like hovering over the line. I think if they would have called him out, he could have called
Is that crossing the plane, like in football, if it's over the
line? That's true. I don't think so.
Because the heel kind of comes up a little bit on the back of the shoe.
There's space, but he got the shot. He says he practices it all the time. Kyrie does. He practices that shot. A lot of people are like, this is a circus shot. I'm like, well, according to him, he practices it. The ugly is the fact that CSU is in the play-in game. I was shocked by that, but, well, kind of shocked. I was shocked that Boise and CSU were both playing. I thought maybe there was going to be one play-in team for the Mountain West, but not the case. All right, we got to take a quick break here. Linda Lappe is going to join us in just a moment. She's in her second year as executive director of the Sportswomen of Colorado. So we're excited to bring her on the program. They had their 50th anniversary award celebration last night, and we'll get into more details on that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Interviews and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just 17 minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron. Excited for this next guest. When found out late last week that we were going to get an opportunity to talk to this woman, I was just pumped. And, of course, a huge event on Sunday night. We're talking to Linda Lappe, the director of the Sportswomen of Colorado, in her second year, but this was their 50th anniversary last night. We're going to get into some more details there. But Linda, it's an honor to have you on the program. Thanks so much for giving us some time.
Thanks for having us on.
Hey, and you recovered okay. I mean, it sounds like it was an amazing event last night, the 50th one. I mean, obviously you gotta pull out everything in a celebration like that.
Yes, we have an amazing board of directors, and we call it a working board, and we gave them a subcommittee to work on probably about a year ago, and it all came together, and we had a great party last night. It was tough to get out of bed this morning. it was a lot of fun. We honored a lot of amazing people, and just what a celebration the 50th was, and really just looking to the past and honoring the past, but also the present, and then looking into the next 50 years.
Well, there's been so many amazing women involved in sports that have won this award or other awards too. You look at, obviously, and I'll let you announce it in a moment here, Linda. I know the announcement's already been made, but I think you get the honor of saying that. But you look at a lot of just sensational athletes over the years, Amy Van Dyke and Ruin, so many great, great athletes that have been a part of this. And this is why this event is just so special and what you guys do each and every year.
Well, we certainly get to honor the best of the best athletes. Yeah. And people that everyone's heard about, but also people that are doing some extraordinary things that you wouldn't necessarily hear about. So for example, the Ninja Warrior, the young lady out of Colorado Springs, who is one of the best Ninja Warriors in the world. I don't know that people would know about her. Swimming, we had Sarah Thomas back last night, who was a 2019 Sportswoman of the Year, who did another historic swim this year in swimming across Lake Mead. And she's done 67 hour swims, and it was pretty amazing. What we were able to do last night was to honor the 2023 award winners, people that have had amazing years. But also we paired them with a former winner and made sure the audience understood who they were and what they accomplished and the reason why they received an award for us the year that they did. So, you know, we got to honor Lou Peel again, you know, Northern Colorado grad. And, you know, she was our 1979 Sportswoman of the Year. And just an amazing, eclectic group of women. And not only just women, we've honored men who coach women. We've honored organizations who create opportunities for women to be able to play and have success. And so really it's about, you know, honoring a diverse group of people that that we may not all know about have we, you know, if we didn't have this event.
Well, and I love it too. You know, it's an award for Colorado, or it's a celebration for Colorado athletes. And you look at some of these names. I mean, so many names just jump off. Obviously, we cover a lot of CSU stuff here, so you see McKenna Hoffshield, their career achievement award. I mean, there's a and then the high school list too. The girls you're working with in the high school ranks, the Ninja Warriors of the world. I mean, there's just so many great activities going on that you're right. Maybe sometimes they don't get talked about like some of the other sports or the collegiate level or what have you, but this is phenomenal. I mean, this list you put together, I was looking at it over the weekend, and it's all over the place. There's so many great athletes throughout the state.
There are, and what's been so neat is to look back at the very first class, which was honored at the 1975 banquet for their 74 accomplishments. And even from the very first banquet, there were 28 award winners, and they were a very diverse crowd back then. So it was certainly something that we call them the godmothers, the founders of Sportswomen of Colorado, wanted. It was something that they valued, is to not just honor the basketballs and the volleyballs and the soccers, the people that everyone may know about, or the professional athletes. It was really bring to light, you know, all of those people that were excelling in the state of Colorado. And you know, they started off with a variety of sports at a variety of ages, and we still continue to do that today. And also honor, you know, Paralympic athletes as well, Special Olympic athletes. And you know, it is an amazing organization that, you know, the one thing is common is you have to be outstanding at whatever it is that you do. And we have a great selection committee which has media members from all over the state, and they really help us decide who we need to have in that room on banquet night.
Yeah, I mean, it's a star-studded affair. Like you said, these individuals are just amazing at their craft, the dedication that goes into being at whatever level that might be, but being at the top, you know, being one of those great, great athletes. All right, talk to us about this. Well, this was a special award because we had a record on Sunday night as far as how, you know, the most Colorado Sportswomen of the Year awards.
Yeah, we got to honor Michaela Schifrin for the sixth time at our highest award, which is our Sportswoman of the Year. We announced that on the banquet night, and obviously, oh my gosh, if you haven't heard about what she's been accomplishing, I think you've been hiding under a rock, because she has had an amazing kind of a comeback year and a half. Really, she won her 87th World Cup in 2023. I think shortly right before our banquet last year, she won that. But not only, she didn't stop there, she kept winning. And I think she just recently won maybe her 97th World Cup recently. And what, you know, she kind of had a down year at the Olympics and really just regrouped. She has a great team around her. And, you know, I don't know how she does what she does and continues to just dominate at the world level.
Linda, obviously, I know you played at the college level, you coached at the college level, but it's got to be kind of crazy, kind of surreal. When you talk about 97 World Cups, like all of this stuff, all of this greatness that's just surrounding you at that night, that's got to be a pretty sweet moment.
It is pretty cool, and it was even more special last night as we brought back a lot of our former honorees that we were amongst all of them. You know, we have world champions and we have national champions, and we have, you know, number one recruits in the nation. And, you know, Brianna Crittenden from Riverdale Ridge, she won our most promising award and had a spectacular sophomore season there. And somebody that, you know, Missy Franklin won the same award and then went on to do some really cool things. And so it's, you know, to be able to see athletes through the evolution of their careers is really fun. And it's something that we get to do. Last year, we honored an 11-year-old mogul skier who wants to be the first black mogul skier in the Olympics. And so Ava Keenan was her name. And so I will always, you know, hopefully everybody in that crowd will recognize her name when she makes the Olympics in a few years. So anyway, it's just a fun time, and to be able to bring everybody together at one time on one night. It doesn't happen anywhere else in the country. Yeah. Even to this day. So we're pretty proud that we can keep this thing going.
We're talking to Sportswomen of Colorado Executive Director, Linda Lappe. What goes into, I know you talk a little bit about when you're sending everything out, but you guys are paying attention. This committee is paying attention to so many different things. Obviously what they're doing on the courts and the gyms and the mats and everything, but also, you know, just who they are, their stories too, their unique stories and their backgrounds. What kind of process is that? Because I would imagine there are a lot of hours that go into obviously creating the event every single year, but finding all these athletes and getting their stories out there.
Well, we really rely on all of Colorado to help us in the nomination process. You can find our nomination link easily on the website. It's open. The nominations are open all year long. Most people wait until December 15th as the December 31st is the deadline. But we've gotten a couple nominations already for 2024, people that have done some amazing things already, and that, you know, so that you don't forget about them. But we rely on all of Colorado to nominate. We do have a nomination committee that makes sure that we can track down some nominations. But there's just, quite frankly, some people that we wouldn't know about if people don't take the time. And not the nomination process, we know, is tedious. But it's worth it, and it means a lot to the athletes, and it means a lot to our organization. Like I said last night during the banquet, we're only as successful as having the right people in that room, and to do that takes all of Colorado to take the time and nominate. And then, you know, if we get the right nominations, the selection process, while it's difficult, all the information is right there, and so we can start to compare and contrast. And you know, everybody says, "Well, you honor 40 people. Wow, that's a lot of people." And I said, "Well, we could easily we get to 60 probably a lot of years, and then we have to cut down who we're honoring." So there's so many great things happening in so many different sports, and we've honored barrel racers before. We've honored mountaineers. We honor, you know, the traditional sports, the non-traditional sports. And then also, like I said, we have a lot of special awards. Our most inspirational award winner last night was Kirstie Ennis, who was in a helicopter crash, lost her leg. And since then has, you know, she talked about sports saving her life. And now she's giving back to that, and what an amazing story that she had.
I love to hear those kind of stories, those redemption stories too, and how they can overcome. I mean, that's one of my favorite things, Linda, about sports, whether it's in the game or outside of the game. Stuff happens, you know, life happens, whatever. But when you get a story like that, and then you see how they use that and what they had to overcome, it becomes so much more powerful than a great time or a great score or a great win.
It does, for sure. And, you know, it's both of our speakers last night, Melissa Ward and Kirstie Ennis, talked about kind of use sports as a vehicle for life, because at some point sports ends for most of us. Although we've honored 82-year-old athletes who are still competing at the World Championships and are winning in the world. So for some it doesn't end, but for most of us, your competitive sports cycle ends. And then the question is, what do you do with that, and how do you give back, and how do you use that to be able to be successful with your family and in your job? And, you know, what a great, you know, thing to learn how to deal with adversity, learn how to be a great teammate. And obviously we all know that transfers over to life every single day.
Again, that website for folks, you know, if you're interested in getting the word out, you know, maybe I'm from Eastern Colorado, Linda. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. Well, not even the middle. I'm just in nowhere.
We need those kids. Yes, we don't hear about them all the time.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely going to be banging the drum here. Sportswomenofcolorado.org. I think it's phenomenal. You mentioned this a moment ago. that this is unlike anything in the country. So we don't have anything quite like this throughout the United States.
No, not wow. You know, we've been saying that for a long time. You know, there's a lot of different Hall of Fames. You know, there's the Skiing Hall of Fame, there's the Track and Field Hall of Fame, but as far as we know, it was certainly the first one when it started. And as far as we know, we have never heard of anything like this in the entire country. And we hope there is. We hope we can stop saying that at some point. But to this day, we still have not heard of any other state that honors people at the statewide level in all sports and all categories like we do.
Well, and you're all, like you said, you're all over the board. I mean, this is, you know, we're looking at the prep scene, we're looking at the college scene, we're looking at the pro scene, but we're also different, you know, barrel racing, different sports, different athletic kind of events. That is what I think is one of my, also one of my favorites, top three at least, about what you guys do, is the fact that it's not just, you know, four or five different sports, and it's not just the pros or college. You're seeing it all over the place. I mean, these awards that you guys are giving out and putting together kind of means so much, whether it's the best award, the sportswoman of the year, or all the other honorees and you know, sports specific too. It's got to be so special and rewarding.
It's awesome. And you know, last night we got to award a racquetball player who practices out of the Denver Athletic Club, and you know, she's I think the number fourth racquetball player in the world. You
wow.
know, won a gold medal with her brother in the doubles. And she's what an amazing individual. She was so grateful. She was so thankful. And she's also started her own business, Manila Athletics. And she started youth racquetball leagues, like junior racquetball leagues, to be able to get kids in there and start to be active and play racquetball. And so, you know, it's you know, a lot of the people that win awards, it's also, you know, it's fun for me because I get to read all of their stories. You know, I get to read about the Colorado School of Mines pole vaulter that, yes, she won a national championship in the pole vault, but she also, I can't even regurgitate what major she is, and was like a 4.2 GPA at Colorado School of Mines. You know, so it's these people are going to be doing some amazing things even past when they're done in their sport career.
And again, you're recognizing all of that, you know, the work that they put in on the athletic side of things, but also, you know, the work they put in the schoolroom or just, you know, in the community too. And I think that stuff is so powerful. Linda, how did you get involved? I mean, this is your what, second year being the director, but when did you start getting involved?
Well, I actually went to the event when I was in college. One of my teammates got received an award, and so I was able to go see the banquet. That was in the probably early 2000s. And so I got a taste of it. I knew the executive director, Joni Berkland, and just what a great woman she was. And so I always knew this was kind of her passion project that she created. And I got to play for Steele Berry, and Steele won numerous yeah. awards for Sportswomen of Colorado. And I was actually hiking with her one day. We were hiking the Flatirons here in Boulder, and she said, "Hey, you know, would you have any interest in doing something like this?" And most people don't know this, but the job is very, very, very part-time. So I actually have another full-time job. So it really is something that you do in your off time. You do as, you know, kind of volunteering a lot of it. And it's something that you have to really enjoy. And I love all sports. I was in administration in college, and I was a sports supervisor for triathlon and volleyball and soccer. And so I really, you know, I've always enjoyed not just everybody kind of knows me as, you know, basketball, but, you know, I was able to play four sports in high school and got to be around, you know, in my previous life, I got to be around a lot of different sports and can appreciate so many different sports. And so it really was a good fit that, you know, you kind of have to have somebody that knows how to talk a lot of different sports because of how many we honor, and kind of know the dynamic of a lot of different sports of, you know, how do we know if this person is the top? What's the metric, right? And is that metric that we need to use? Is that the right metric? So there is a lot of things, but it is a good fit. And I've really enjoyed, I think that the thing that I've enjoyed more than anything is, like you said, hearing everybody's story, because they are amazing.
Yeah, and again, I think, is there a place to, I was going to ask you before we let you go, Linda, where obviously we know where you can go if you want to, you know, get some nominations out there, put some young people's names out there, sportswomenofcolorado.org. Can you also look at the list of some of these sports, some of these stories even, or even just their names?
You can, yes. Yeah. So we have that on our website as well. You can see all of our sportswomen of the year and what they accomplished. They have bios all up on our website. As well as all of our annual honorees, so everybody that we've honored over the years. I think we just recently got in the 21st century and started posting their bios with their pictures, so you can only go back so many years with that, but we do have them all listed starting in 1974 until today. So if you want to look to see a name that you recognize, you can go to our website and find that as well.
Well, there's just so many moving parts to this. I don't know how. I always wonder about events like this. How the heck do people do this? How do you guys put it all together, get the awards out there, set up the banquet or the event and everything that just goes into it? So I got so much respect for what you guys do. And, of course, congratulations to all the winners, especially Michaela Schifrin. Who she did it? She had to do a video thing with you guys, though, right? She had to jump on because she's in Europe right now, isn't she?
She's in Austria competing, and she was gracious enough. You can only imagine how many inquiries she gets to do stuff like this, and she made it a priority from the very start. And I will forever be a fan. She took the time to do it. I know she's been injured. She's had so many things going on, and she took the time to send us a great video from Austria.
I love it. Congratulations on the 50th anniversary, the 50th year of doing this. And Linda, hey, let's not make this the last time. You know, Mike Rice put us in touch last week. I'm so thankful for that. But we would love to get more and more involved with you guys as you get ready for 51 and 52 and 53. So please stay in touch with us.
Sounds great. And we definitely will. Thanks for having us on.
Okay, Linda, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Linda Lappe, the Sportswomen of Colorado Executive Director. Michaela Schifrin was named Colorado Sportswoman of the Year for a record 6 times. That is a pretty special deal. Amy Van Dyken Ruin, of course, was the closest with 3 straight back in the day. So she's, she's in big company, or now she's above all that company when it comes to this award. So great event there. That website. And I'm telling you, you know, you throughout Northern Colorado, there's some amazing female athletes all over the state. We know that. This female, male athletes, we know how competitive it is in the high school ranks, the college ranks, and then the pros, certainly. But maybe you are in a smaller town that gets ignored a little bit. Well, she's saying, hey, help us out. It's hard for us to keep our eyes on every single thing, which would be next to impossible. So if there's someone that sticks out, check out sportswomenofcolorado.org. And start getting their name out there. That's how you got to do this thing. 37 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Okay, it is time. March Madness. Play-in games start tomorrow. The actual madness starts on Thursday, and KFKA is going to have it all. Every single game that Westwood One provides, we are going to have it for you. Beginning tomorrow, we will have that CSU game on KFKA as well. So it's pretty special. And we also have $1,000 for you. Yeah, for somebody. If you haven't entered the bracket challenge yet, it's easy. I just need your email address. You gotta get at us. If you haven't had an invite yet, you haven't registered, I'm giving you the chance for the rest of the day to just shoot me a text on our First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. If you text me your email address, that's all you have to say. Just your email address. I will send you an invite today. We're filling this thing up. There's a lot of people in this thing, but we want more. There's no limit to this. And somebody's going to win $1,000. If your bracket's the best, you win $1,000. How about that? So send me an email on our First Advantage text line right now, 888-530-0043. 0043. All right, Angel. It's exciting. The Mountain West Conference, though. Wow. We got, you know, the conference, and I love this conference. It's CSU's conference. It feels like a home conference for me. Definitely my favorite personally because I watch so much of it. Six teams in. First, you got to take the good first. Like, that's astonishing. That's great. We wondered if it was going to, at the end of the day, were we going to just get high on six? But no, it's probably going to be like four, maybe five. But you got six in. But it's where they're... It's where they're seeded. What, San Diego State got the best seed, right, in the Mountain West? They got a five seed? I think it was a five seed. New Mexico. I mean, now we're learning that, what, the committee chairman, Charles McClellan, told CBS Sports during the selection show that New Mexico, which was thought to be in the field of 68 as an at-large before the championship game or before the tournament, or by some, I guess it depends on who asked, said that they stole a bid. So New Mexico was never going to get in unless they won the title. How about that? But New Mexico gets in, and you're just looking at some of the problem is, okay, so you got San Diego State as a five seed, but no other team was higher than that. I mean, Utah State was the number eight seed, or is the number eight seed. Boise State and Colorado State are the first four. They're in the play-ins. They're 10 seeds. Nevada is also a 10 seed. Did I get them all there? New Mexico, San Diego State, Utah State, Boise State, Colorado State, and Nevada. So you feel disrespected. The conference certainly feels disrespected. What we were told was that the committee said the Mountain West had too many, basically most of their wins came from the conference. That's where they were winning, was in the conference. However, that's not true for CSU. So you got to be consistent up and down the board. CSU was 12-1 in non-conference play. So that can't be the reason for everybody, but that was one of the reasons why the Mountain West, they said, hey, six teams are getting in, but we're not giving you great seeds, because honestly, most of your wins just came against each other. Overall, the conference didn't have a strong enough non-conference schedule.
I think your non-conference is only as good as how your conference play goes. And then when you're looking at just conference play, the strength of your conference is a big factor.
It's true. I mean, you
like
can't...
If you have a great non-con like CSU, and then you don't do, you know, just a little over 500 in your conference, it's like, okay, what is that telling me? You're kind of maybe somewhere in the middle, which is where they ended up in the conference.
And then the conference... didn't have a strong non-conference schedule. I don't have in front of me, but that's what their belief was. So it must be, there must have been enough teams. I don't know if you can find Mountain West's non-conference record. But then you look at that and you go, well, they weren't as strong as a conference in the non-con. Not a lot of quad ones, maybe. I thought they had a lot of quad ones, to be honest. But then you look, I guess you look at that and say, if they weren't that strong, the fact that CSU was struggling in the conference. Maybe that's a bad deal. Listen, man, it's confusing. We're always going to complain. Smitty says the committee claimed most of the quad one wins were in conference. That's a silly argument. And I do think that's a weird argument. That's weird to me.
So non-conference schedules, the highest Mountain West team is San Diego State, and they were at 17.
They won 17 non-conference games?
That's their non-conference schedule ranking.
Okay.
The next highest is Boise State. They're at 32.
Where's CSU?
39. Big gap there between the top and the second Mountain West non-conference schedules. Purdue, Arizona, Tennessee, and Marquette were your top four.
Interesting. You know, and that makes sense. But, like... you look at CSU, they beat Creighton. That was a big one for them. They smoked Creighton. You know, they beat a Boston College. They beat Washington. Smitty says beating Pac-12 teams in November and December didn't help. Well, I guess not. I guess the conference weighed more than the non-conference, which honestly, I kind of have been saying that the last couple of weeks, Angel. I've been saying, hey, isn't it weird that we put so much onus on the first portion of the season when we always say in every other sport that committees, whatever, they want to see their teams playing their best in the last month and a half or two? So, yeah, this is a committee saying, great, you were awesome in the non-con, but once you got into conference play, you were inconsistent. You were maybe average, really.
Utah State's non-conference had them at 87. So not a great non-conference schedule, but you dominated your conference. Again, what holds more weight?
I guess they're saying basically, well,
I think conference games really matter.
Yeah.
If you have a whatever your non-conference is and you have a good record with that.
So did it hurt the conference to not have one dominant team? Now, I know Utah State was at the top pretty much most of the year, right? But but I don't think anybody's saying that there was just one dominant team, is there? I mean, Utah State finished 14-4 in conference, Nevada 13-5, Boise State 13-5, UNLV 12-6, San Diego State 11-7. So did it hurt the conference to not have one or two lead dogs? Because there was really no guiding line, I guess, to say is this a really good conference? Because what would have been better for this conference? If CSU came in, they got their 12-1 non-con schedule, and then they didn't go 10-8. What'd they go, 10-8?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's is that with the regular season, or I don't know if that's with the tournament as well. But either way, let's just say it. It would have been perfect scenario if CSU goes 12-1, and then they only lose like four or five. Honestly, you want your non-conference champion, the team that rocked the most in the non-con, to lead your conference. And so Utah State, you said, was where were they ranked? Yeah, so they got hot, you know, as the conference play rolled on.
And I also think how your conference losses or wins come by, a lot of CSUs are on the road. So those get a bigger knock on you than home wins.
Well, and Utah State was good. I mean, they won a lot. It's just their schedule wasn't great, right? Just wasn't. Who'd they beat? They lost to Bradley in overtime. Beat a team like Southern Utah. They beat Marshall, Stephen F. Austin, UC Irvine, San Diego, Northwest Nazarene, Santa Clara, San Francisco. So, I mean, not overwhelming. They won a lot, but that's why, I mean, they only lost one, but it doesn't. You have to have at least three or four marquee, like quad one type wins.
Yeah, so looking at San Diego State, who had a 17th-ranked non-conference schedule, they beat St. Mary's, Washington, California, UCSD, lost to Grand Canyon by six on the road, UC Irvine, Stanford, and Gonzaga.
Hmm.
So four big, pretty marquee wins in that non-con.
So here's my ultimate assessment of this. Was the Mountain West disrespected? Are the Mountain West disrespected? Maybe. Maybe so. You know, the media might disrespect this team. Like, I thought New Mexico should have been in regardless of, you know, I didn't think it was going to have to take a winning a Mountain West championship in the tournament to get them in. I thought maybe one or two. But then I overshot on CU, too. I thought CU maybe just needed to win one Pac-12 tournament game. They are not in if they don't go to the Pac-12 championship, and they're barely in.
Oh, and I think those lower seeds and the bubble teams get influenced a lot by the eye test over the weekend.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because I was seeing Lenardi, CU is up and down the little bubble all weekend.
Let's see. Smitty says, why at YO, at San Diego State, home against Nevada, and then at New Mexico. Those are four winnable games, which would have given us, the Rams, a 28-6, 14-4 record, and likely a 5 seed. Right. There are punishments, folks. Like, I'm trying not to be a homer, and I'm trying not to be so hard on this team, but Angel, let's face it. If they hang on to beat Wyoming, up 11 with a minute, if they don't score just 11 points against San Diego State in the second half, if they just have somebody close to Jared Lucas before he throws off the half-court shot to win, for Nevada to win at home, that hurt. Because at least you could say, well, CSU doesn't lose at Moby. Well, they finally did. And then they were close to New Mexico, but Jalen Lake tripped and, you know, Donovan Dent went in for an uncontested layup to essentially win that game. Those are, it's a game of inches in basketball too, I suppose. But yeah, there, you can look straight at the, that's a great point by you, Smitty. You can look right at those four games. Maybe you win one of those and you're not messing with the play-in. You win two of them, you got a stronger seed. You win all of those in that situation, like you said, probably a five seed. Poll question of the day, did CSU get snubbed? We got a lot to talk about. I'll read some texts on the other side. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Enter for free. Create your bracket. Win big. KFKA's Bracket Challenge, presented in part by A1 Organics. Keep it here if you want in. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Get in our March Madness Bracket Challenge. $1,000 going to the winner. I'll do this until 2 o'clock today. Shoot me an email in that time frame. Don't shoot me an email. Shoot me your email on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Shout out to On the Rocks Liquor. Hey, it's going to be a celebration this week, all week long. Guys, Brian and Tanner were talking about holidays on Friday, St. Patrick's Day. Now, this is a holiday. It's March Madness time, baby. Stop by On the Rocks Liquor for all of your game beers of the week, half a mile south of Highway 34 and 47th Avenue. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. Top story of the day is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.